once more when it does. It will even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. That will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live this morning. Oh, it's a cool morning, 45 degrees here, summertime, but it's cool up here in the Rocky Mountains, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. About 45 degrees, had a little rain, it's a little damp, and that's summertime for you. But we welcome you here. We thank you for joining us this June 25th, 2022. If you hear the program at another time, I think we replay it on Monday evening on shortwave and, again, out on the internet. But if you hear it there, it will be a repeat. But it is live this Saturday morning, and we thank you for joining us, and we'll bring the men on. Paul, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And Brother Josh from way down south, it's always good to hear you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, again, thanks for joining us. We have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913, and we'd be glad to take your call. Got plenty going on, and I know we won't get everything talked about today, but we're going to try. And but we're going to open up in prayer first. I hope you are doing that, Remnant. I hope you are a prayer warrior. If you're not, you need to be. It's as simple as that. You need to be praying, praying in the morning, praying before your trips, praying before travel, praying for us here, praying for the LaPorte Church. Churches are getting attacked all across the nation right now. And so you need to be a prayer warrior. If you're not, you need to be. It's as simple as that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And so we're going to open up in prayer. Paul, we'll ask if you would do those honors this morning.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to go out on the airwaves and to reach all the people, Lord, and have a platform where they can come that is based on your word, Lord. Your word is the end of the matter, Lord, and that's just the way it is. We got have kingdoms in conflict at this time, and there seems to be a raging at the moment, Lord, and we pray that we know who wins, Lord, but you give us the strength to bear through it, Lord, and we look to you for all of our answers and all of our remedies, Lord, because we know who wins, Lord, and why does a heathen rage? God sets in the heavens and laugh, and Lord, give us laughter in our lives and joy to see what's going on. That the Babylon is falling, Lord, and we put our blessing on it along with yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, yeah, my thought, guys, was, the Supreme Court had two huge rulings in the last 2 days. I think on Thursday, they overturned a New York State law that greatly restricted concealed carry, greatly restricted the ability of people to carry a firearm to defend themselves, and the Supreme Court struck that down. And there's about 12 or 13 other states that have followed New York in the same type of restrictions. And so we should see a great opening of that, a great relaxing of those laws that prevent law-abiding people that just want to defend themselves, that have that law written on their heart, that will allow them, of course, there's plenty in those states that that do, but will allow them to, you know, to be legal, you might say. We understand where law comes from and whatnot, but it is good to see that. And then that was just the beginning. And of course the Supreme Court of the United States, and I know every time I get a text or a call, it's the so-called, we understand that. It's just, that's what they're called here in the States. But they overturned by a 6-3 vote, the Molech worship, the abortion law, Roe versus Wade, that had said that the Constitution says that it's a right to get an abortion. And they rightfully overturned that and said, no, that's not what the Constitution says. I think that it's a much better ruling. And as Paul prayed, Remnant, the heathens are in an uproar. When you look at the headlines, some of the just the quotes, they're going scorched earth, and what that means is they're burning everything in their path. That goes back to Grant marching across Georgia, where he burned it all as he went, and that's the terminology that's being used today. That those on the left are absolutely terrified. Good, I say. That it's a political earthquake, what's going on, and civil war. These are quotes from this morning's headlines. And that is how the majority of the society here in this country is looking at it. And I see it as an awakening, a further awakening, those of us on the right, Christians, we have the attitude of live and let live. We really do. You know, what you do in your closet, just, you know, keep it to yourself. That's been our attitude, I really believe. It's not God's attitude, but it's been our attitude. That just do what you want to do. As long as you don't, you know, don't infringe on me, I'm certainly not going to infringe on you. And we'll just let things be, you know, right? But that's not the ungodly's attitude. No, they want to cram it down your throat. They want to, they come to steal, kill, and destroy. It's as simple as that. That was last week's headlines. They're killing the economy. Absolutely. And so we see these things. We see these things happening in our lifetime. It's exciting. I wanted to lead off with that, guys. I'll let me drink some coffee, and I'll turn it over. Comments, thoughts?
Well, the problem is, in this country, is how we punish law. You know, we have to punish law God's way. There's no room for a prison system. There's restitution, execution. And we've been putting this off for a long, long time. That's how to deal with this stuff, you know. Death penalty for the homosexual, but live and let live. The thing of it is, law is not against the law until someone crosses the line, and then you have to deal with it properly, you know. There's always secret stuff going on, I'm sure, but the way we deal with law, we need God-fearing people. People don't have a clue what sin is. I mean, how can they? The Bible says that he who dwells on the law cannot be moved. Now, everybody out here I know is pretty negotiable. Well, I believe that, you know. Got to discuss with a guy, AR-17, I just kept going, well, he don't need that. That's bullshit. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It's how we punish that law. It's just whether he pulls that trigger once or twice, that ain't the issue. It's what he did with it. Crime has to be punished God's way, and that's all clean house.
You know, and fire is a good thing. It cleanses much like good water does. You know, their system is burning down, and we can look at it and we see that it's falling on the left and falling on the right, and they've got their plans for us, but God has always delivered his people from their plans and from their schemes, and we know there's some smart conniving critters that can think of stuff that we just think because they are different, and that's not the way that we're programmed, the way that we're wired, but thankfully we've got God on our side, and he is our redeemer and our deliverer, and he's freed us from bondage in the past, and he's going to do it again. We just need to make sure that we keep our minds right, and I'm sure they've got an angle, whatever their angle is, on overturning these bills, which are good for the conservative, you know, as far as conservative mindset, Roe versus Wade, the gun control stuff, and their angle may be just that of trying to set us up for a war between the left and the right, trying to get their folks enraged the way that we are right now, because we know they got a counterfeit kingdom, and so therefore things that work for our side, it's like we got that scripture of what do you do to restore the savor to the salt? You cast it out in the street and you trample on it. Well, the same thing applies to them on their side with their counterfeit God and their counterfeit kingdom. They're trying to, in my opinion, enrage their people or critters or whatever they are to a point where they are ready to fight. Now, does that mean that law is overturned any less? No, it doesn't. Does that mean that's not an answer to prayer on our behalf? No, it doesn't, because it's still that end result that we've been praying for.
Yes.
And that doesn't change it just because they've got a different driving force, a different motive for what they're doing. So we got to be thankful for it and praise the Lord for it and continue to pray. Just like what you were saying, you cannot pray too much. We need to be Holy Spirit led before you get up and walk outside. Morning, you know, much less of something that you consider to be a big decision, because we need to be found in God's will all the time, because he is that covering and that,
yes,
salvation, and not just for in the afterlife once we all fly away and go to, you know, whatever. No, it's for today. It's for Saturday. Whenever I'm bush hogging, I need God to watch over me.
Absolutely.
And I want him to watch over me.
Yes.
And to deliver.
And the more we see that, the more, you know, it comes to mind, you know, like Daniel. Daniel prayed what? Morning, noon, and night. James tells us about Elisha, right? Praying, Elijah praying, and it didn't rain. They prayed again. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. That means he did the equivalent of getting out and bush hogging when he could, you know. He thought the thoughts that we think, and he had to fight the fights that we fight. But he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and it did. And that's how we have to be today. It is. He had a nature like ours, but he prayed earnestly. And that's how we have to be today, folks. We have to pray earnestly. There's many that have been. There's many that haven't, that need to. And that's an individual thing. That's up to you. You can control that. You can get up 10 minutes early or a half hour early in the morning. And after you do that for about, what's it take to create a habit? About 7 days, I think they say. It takes about 3 times that to break a habit. But it takes about a week to create and establish a habit. And so if you do that, set your alarm a little early in the morning and get up and pray. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be like these that we read about in the scriptures. There's so many out there. You know, Psalms 82 says, verse 5, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. And God doesn't want to destroy those people that are like that. You know, you think about those in Nineveh. That's come up several times in the last few weeks. At the end of Nineveh, you know, Job is still mad at God that he didn't wipe them out, right? Not Job. who went to Nineveh? Jonah. Yeah, the other J. And God says, you know, I got 120,000 people here that don't know their left hand from their right. Should I not have compassion on them? And see, Jonah didn't. Jonah's like, nope, kill them all and you sort them out, God. That's how Jonah was. Don't we find ourselves like that sometimes? I know I do. And I have to catch myself and say, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to type that. I'm not going to send that. I'm not going to reply that way. I try to anyway. But God says, you know. They don't understand. They walk about in darkness. Now, I understand not all of them that are the heathens in a rage right now are that way. But certainly some are. And I think we have to remember that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places. And, you know, Jesus understood that at the when they were screaming, crucify him. It was our people that got stirred up, that did not understand, as Psalms 82 says, that walked about in darkness. And we have those people amongst us again today. But they are raging, that's for sure. They are, tear gas being used, rioting. It's like just a continuation of the summer riots from a couple of years ago.
You can bet there's instigators in there stirring them up, too.
Oh, so. Yes.
Well, one thing...
Go ahead, Zach.
No, go ahead, Paul.
No, I think down deep that we think like God do, too, unless we get into idolatry and get perverted, because, you know, he says the law of God's written on our heart, and we really know better. You know, he said, vengeance is mine, and we see people that do stuff that we don't agree with all the time, one thing, people have to come to that conclusion themselves, and this what's going on out here on the countryside, they're going to turn back to God because this thing is totally unglued. It's just rampant. All the foundation has been torn up, you know. And like you said, you're going back to the Constitution, but it's just one step back from where the Constitution was written on, which is God's Word.
Yes.
And see the sign of sheet, it was a Finney. I believe I got it right. Don't quote me exactly. But Finney was going to become a lawyer, and they kept referring to the Bible. And he had no religious background whatsoever. They kept referring to the Bible in this law school. And he got himself a Bible, and started reading it for himself, Lee came of an evangelist with just tremendous results, but he had no religious background I'm bringing up, and I think that can be a hindrance sometimes. We come up through this Judeo-Christianity that's kind of altered our brain, and we got to go back to the basics. And, you know, the Constitution just wants to step away from the truth because that's where we're headed, whether we like it or not, and I think that's a good thing.
And that, you know, you talked about that programming from the church, and then going back to what Richard was talking about with prayer, it's important that we learn how to pray. And there's a lot of material that, a lot of good material from this ministry that you can get that teaches and helps you to get to grow in your prayer life and have more effective prayers. Part of that is the same principle as, is it easier to sit down and have a conversation with a stranger, or is it easier to sit down and have a conversation with a friend? Got to build a relationship with God, and that comes through knowing Him and knowing His Word, and then being having a close relationship from having a friendship with God. I mean, we need to be listening to Him and talking to Him every day. It don't need to just be whenever you're in a bind that you pray for Him to save you. We need to thank Him when we pass some beautiful flowers that are,
yes,
you know, a joy for us to be able to see, because those are blessings from Him. And that faith muscle is strengthened by our prayer. And whenever you pray without ceasing, there's a thought, you know, He strengthens you with all the little things. And in my life, He has shown me so much through those little things. I've told it more times than I can count my fishing prayer story. Whenever, you know, I was out there fishing, been fishing for hours and had not even had a bite, wading the river. And I prayed, you know, Lord, would you please let me catch a fish? And the very next cast it out there and, caught a sun perch that was no bigger than the lure that I was fishing with. And that thing was just beautiful, a rainbow of colors, and just that was better to me. I belly laughed, and you know, just the God's got a sense of humor. It was a tiny little old fish that you couldn't do anything with, but I asked Him for a fish, and He gave me a fish, and He spoke to me, and that's something that one tiny brick that helped build the foundation of where I am right now with God is because of just living a different way, looking through a different lens of that, you know, everything we have He gave us. And even when we don't understand, when things come our way that we feel like are bad things, they're still a blessing to us because God is working in our lives and He is steering us and putting us where we need to be. And we need to trust Him in that and not get angry and get bitter whenever He doesn't answer our prayers, because we got to understand His ways are greater than our ways and better than our ways. And we can think to some extent, like Paul was saying, we do have that mind of Christ, but also too, there's a big difference in the way that a 14-year-old thinks and a 60-year-old, you know, they're just different levels of understanding and knowledge. And it's the same basic principles, but we just don't have the wisdom and probably not the capacity to love the way that He does, too. So it's a way of life, and it's seeking first the kingdom. And, you know, you don't need, and that's another thing about prayer, you don't need a bunch of fancy words to pray. I just don't, that's not, God wants our hearts. He wants us. He wants all of us. And, you know, I love that about Paul when he prays. He's talking to a friend just the same way that we talk to each other. You know, we don't have to change anything. It's not some fancy ritual of, you know, who can sound the most impressive praying. That's not what it's about. But it's about being honest and loving God and trying to do His will.
Amen.
Well, you know, a lot of people pray to God and trying to wear him out with words. He knows the heart. You can cut out a lot of stuff. That's why the Proverbs are so powerful. The one-liners have so much in them, you know. And then it's the little things, you know, you talk about. You look at nature and the design of the flowers in the spring and the season that goes through. You know, God's talking all the time, and very few people are listening. You know, if you're trying to keep up with the Joneses or by the neighbor's farm, you know, you're on the wrong track. Be still and know that I am the Lord. You know, we don't need to be entertained all the time. You know, I know people that can't go without music. They just got to have something on just all the time. But that's all a distraction from knowing God. Be still and know that I am the Lord. He speaks in a still, small voice. And take time, just take time to be different. The law is written in our heart. We know the right.
Amen to that. Yeah, and you know, many people, and they've been asking, well, what do we do? How do we survive? How do we get by? What do we, you know, been traveling this week, and you're flipping through the radio stations, and not all the time, Paul. Sometimes I just turn it off and go a couple hours, and that's a sure peaceful time as well. But boy, you hear these. I've heard that the verse about the perilous times. Probably 6 or 7 times this last week from different radio stations, different preaching and you know, little sound bites and whatnot on so-called Christian radio stations, and getting asked here at the ministry we have for the last, you know, for several years, people have been seeing this coming. What do we do? What do we do? And, you know, I think the example that we have of David in the Old Testament is one of the best examples. He was able to take down Goliath because he had been faithful in the little things. He had been faithful in watching the sheep, in protecting the flock. And he tells Saul that, right? Hey, when the lion came, when the wolf came, when the tiger, whatever the animals were. I took care of them. God delivered them into my hands, and he gave credit where credit was due. It wasn't that you know, he says, I'm like Samson. You think Samson was big. You think, you know, Hercules, that's me. No, that wasn't how David was. He gave credit where credit was due, that it was God that delivered those enemies of the flock into his hands and prepared David for that. I kind of like it also that he, you know, I think God used him as a youth instead of a soldier. Let's say if he'd already been a soldier for 10 years. Now, once he was, you know, he had great exploits, and he had, you know, his mighty men that followed his example that had great exploits. But he hadn't been, he hadn't been programmed by the military, what they could do, what they couldn't do. And I kind of liken that today to, it's been talked about this morning, that programming from the false Judeo-Christian church. It's hard to overcome that. You know, Paul, you mentioned the man back in colonial days that you know, hey, you just pick up a Bible and start reading and pray and believe that word, you know, instead of the programming that comes from the false church, and you're going to be, you know, head and shoulders ahead when you get it right from the horse's mouth. And I see that's how that example of David was. He hadn't been programmed like his brothers. His brothers were programmed. You know, they were, what are you doing here? You're just wanting to, you know, get away from work and blah, blah, blah. They had been programmed. They weren't coming up against Goliath. They weren't coming up against this giant, this undefeatable enemy is how they looked at him. And it, what's the Bible say? I'm not turned there, but, it, you know, he came against Israel and our God and the army for 40 days. But here's David, who had been faithful in the little things, and he had been prepared for that. And that's, I think that's a great example for us today. is to be faithful in the little things. And the Bible talks about that. You know, for us to do the great and mighty things, for us to survive in these perilous times, for us to survive against these huge enemies, for us to thrive and be protected and survive as, you know, we see the world going in this scorched earth pattern and political earthquakes and civil war as society is putting out how things are today. We have to be faithful in the little things. The big things are right at our doorstep. That Red Sea, we are, you know, I can smell the salt air. We're not quite there yet, but I can smell the salt air. I see the seagulls flying around. You can hear the roar of the ocean. I think we are that close. But, you know, folks, we can't be sitting back on the couch, seeing how much beer we can drink, and just saying, well, I know who I am, and God's going to deliver us. That's it. Yep, it'll happen. You can't just sit on the couch and wait for it. You can't. To survive, to thrive, we have to be faithful in the little things. We have to be praying when we're fishing, like you talked about, Josh. And then I like how you put it, you know, having that barrel laugh when you realize that God does have a sense of humor. He does sit in the heavens and laughs, and he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to know that he's got it covered, you know. When we take our children out, camping, fishing, you know, whatever, when we just take them to town or something, you know, they don't worry about if there's enough fuel in the vehicle. They don't worry about their next meal. They don't worry if, well, what if it starts raining, you know, because more than likely dad's got that covered. We've seen that there's fuel in the vehicle. You know, we... hopefully have seen to it and made preparations that we can do our best to keep them safe should someone wish them harm. And we have it covered as dad. And that's how our Heavenly Father is. He's got it covered. We just have to trust in him. We have to believe in him and do what he says. And that starts, you know, we can't. It's rare that you see somebody in the scripture that just goes from nothing to this huge, you know, like Elijah, praying and it doesn't rain and praying that it does. That's not where Elijah started. You know, David didn't start facing Goliath. No, he started years before that, preparing for that. And Remnant, we've been being prepared, I'd say at least as long as you've been on this ministry, probably a lot longer than that, that we have been being prepared for, well, the days that we're in. You know, that's...
Well, think about what David did.
Go ahead, Paul.
Go ahead. Well, think about what David didn't have. You know, he didn't have a transistor radio back in my day. No, they don't even know what they are no more. He didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have no influence of people. Now, if you can imagine herding sheep, it's got to be probably the boringest world job you ever had in the world. And I can just imagine he's out there with that sling. He could put a stone wherever he wanted it. You know, he could, yes. He practiced. That's all he had to do. And he had no outside influence. And that's what takes us down. We start getting, I always said to Pastor Peters, but one of my biggest problems in life is trying to get along with people, some people I never should have tried, you know. And you got to realize that. He realized that, you know, he got a little, maybe a little overbearing on some of that defensiveness, but that's beside the point. But the thing that David didn't have to influence him was a huge impact, and then you take that into your own life. I remember sitting in Grand Central Station in Chicago one time. I was coming back from Montana on a train. I was sitting there watching people, and all of a sudden that people just like changed from people to a river going by me. I was alone in that busy place. And that's the way you are. All the people around you, they affect you. Well, what about this? What about that? They drop fear in you and stuff. And David came out of that wilderness with no fear. You know, he'd already taken on a bear and a lion and stuff like that, but he had no fear, no outside influence. So that just be careful who you let influence. You know, when I got fed up with the church I was raised in, I had no confidence in them more, and I stuck my nose in that Bible and started digging myself, and that's what was. It was a relief, but I lost my faith in the church. It was a political whorehouse is what it was. And that was I didn't like it at the time, but it was really good for me.
So this morning, I always try to pray that God will lead me where we're supposed to go in the broadcast. And thought occurred to me, Grant, to us this day our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with the Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. If we can do that one thing, or I say one thing, that's list of things, but if we can get that quiet time with God, and just like Paul said, that is different for everybody. He got that quiet time with just him and God with, it sounds like, hundreds of people around him. And when I'm on the tractor, a lot of times that is my quiet time with God, and that's got a different definition of what that was whenever we're just fellowshipping with him and listening to him. But that is so important, and it is important that what we do for him. We don't do it for ourselves. And you got to watch yourself and measure yourself and make sure that if you're helping somebody, that yourself isn't getting in front of yourself and secretly doing it to be noticed. You got to choke that flesh back and make sure that you go about it in a way that is furthering the kingdom, and it's not about you and your stature in the group. David did not go up against Goliath so that he could have stature, you know, in the kingdom. He did it because that's what God had for him to do. It was on his heart. It made him mad.
Yes,
that Goliath was there. Person, he knew that he was out of line, and he knew what he was supposed to do, and he did it. And so it's so important. Every day we're looking to God for our daily bread, and that we're seeing those flowers, because good gracious alive, everything that we got going on right now in the world, we're still so abundantly blessed as a nation to have homes and just, you know, all the worldly things, which shouldn't be what we're measuring at all. We ought to be measuring, you know, the higher rewards that we have from God, you know, and him blessing us with that relationship with him, with our health, with our families. Every single day that we get is a gift from God. And be Paul hearing you say that about, you know, being after your neighbor's farm, even if it's secretly, you know, we need to be measuring our motives and not lying to ourselves and say, okay, what am I trying to do here? Where am I going with this? Even if we're saying one thing with your mouth, that's not always, a lot of times we make ourselves believe our own bull, but we need to dig deeper into ourselves and see what is driving where I'm going. Where are my decisions coming from? What are the intentions of my heart? And do they line up with God and with Scripture? And am I where I should be, or should I be changing courses and working my way towards what God would have me be doing for the kingdom?
Well, you know, if you give something to someone and expect anything in return, you didn't really give it. Because, you know, look at Jesus. He gave it to us, and he didn't expect nothing in return. It's a risk you take. And when you give, give all the way. Don't expect something in return. Don't expect them to react and say, well, I did that for you. I did that for you. You know, if you just say that, then you didn't really give it. You know, and that's goes back to the way you just talked about your motive for things, you know, and that sometimes you just got to do it because it's right. You don't need anybody's blessing, you know, except God's, and he knows looking over your shoulder, so he knows our motives. And, what's our motive?
And so verse 19, to that point, is do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And, you know, back to that way of life, of giving to others. Whenever you truly go help somebody because you want to help them, and you go there and you help them for that day, and then you don't think about it again. You're not trying to trade it. Like you said, there's a difference between swapping and giving. Whenever you give, there's no strings attached, and you don't expect anything in return. But if you're going to go help somebody because that person's in a position where they could probably help you down the road, that's a different thing. And it's not wrong, but you just got to recognize the fact that that's a different thing. You're not truly giving. You're just swapping. You're bartering.
Right.
And it does. You don't receive the same benefit in your soul, you know, in your heavenly kingdom. You're not stacking up those riches there whenever you're doing for somebody that has no ability whatsoever to pay you what you're doing for them. There's a difference.
Yeah, and if you can do it without anybody even knowing about it, it's even more rewarding to yourself. You know, I was thinking about Christianity. Christianity is really all about humility. You know, how do you get the Holy Spirit? You baptize for the remission of sin, and God, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit that's given to you. But see, that takes humility to do that. And then you go in the book of Acts, when people really lived humility, they didn't really know what to do with their money. And look at the debt we're in today. That's a picture of America, because we aren't humble. We're not giving people. We're taking what we can get, you know, and we're sinking with the ships. What's going on? But all these people say, you know, some other way to get the Holy Spirit. It's all about humility and being baptized. That's the door. You don't get the gift of the Holy Spirit from some other way without being humble. And all these people that say that, they're full of crap. You know, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you something. God knows English. That's the way I've communicated the whole time. I think he probably knows Spanish, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Well, and you grow that humility, too. It becomes better and better, you know, and just as something as simple as turning the other cheek. Whenever somebody verbally assaults us, not to fire back, but just take that because it's okay, and then treat that person with grace and continue to try to help them, even though they just attacked you. That's a small thing, but it helps you to grow humility, and it helps you not to think too much of yourself. And that's once again a lifestyle that takes practice. We got to learn to show, and a lot of times we do love people. We got to learn to show And that's what humility does, is it communicates that love for other people. And you might not think people notice, but they do. They're completely interested. They're watching what we're doing, watching how we do it. And
Did you always know that, Josh?
Sir?
I'm kidding you.
I think what he said, Josh, was, did you always know that?
No, indeed not. And it's a lesson learned and earned, but it's something that God has given me through my faithfulness. And I can't tell you how much I value it, because it gives you a different mindset. It gives you a different field of view to be able to see things differently and look at other people truly through the lens of love. And once you get it, you sure don't want nothing any different.
We're always being tested on that, too, because it's how we react to things. You know, like you said, you know, somebody says something bad, it don't affect me at all no more. At one time, I would get real defensive, but I'm not. You know, that's why I was getting asked, because I knew you didn't always know what. I didn't.
Yes, sir. You know that firsthand.
Yes, I do. So do you. And Richard's working on it.
I am working on it. Trying to work on it.
It's a constant. It's got to be. It's getting easier every time we do it, though.
Yeah, it is. And Remnant, in these days that we're in, you know, what else can we do? You know, you've heard it. You've heard the scripture quoted today. You know, don't store up, treasures here. It's not that you don't have to have things here. Oh yeah, we've all got to eat, we've all got to have clothes, transportation, those type things, but that's not where you store up your treasures. That's not where you put your heart. That's not where you put your faith. I know some people that are that way. They got their big old four-wheel drive and with the big headlights, and yeah, I can get through Armageddon. I can just roll right through it, you know? That's not the place. You know, what have the 401ks been doing? What has the stock market been doing? It's crashing. It's falling down. Nothing wrong with having some in there if that's what you can do, but that's not where our faith needs to be. That's not where our belief needs to be. You know, when David saw Goliath, back to the David story, he didn't say, well, you know, it's a good thing we got this big army back here, because they're going to take care of you. And I believe they're just all going to take care. No, he'd been faithful in the little things. He was able to take care of the big things. And the scripture that tells us about those perilous times, right? Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeals among you, which come upon you for your testing. And we have to remember that. We have these things upon us because we're being tested. We are being, the Bible talks about we are being perfected, and we are being established. And that's what God does in each and every one of our lives. Is he brings the hardships that we have. He brings the sometimes when we think, well, you know, this is not how I would do it, or really, Lord, really? This too? Sometimes, and you know what? A lot of times he says, yeah, this too. But you can find that out in talking to God in prayer and listening to God by reading his word, that yes, these things happen, but it's not that he's forsaken his people, it's that he's preparing us for what's coming. And we have to.
And you're right, Richard, it's not just one big decision of, okay, I'm going to accept Jesus in my heart, and now I made this big decision, and I've got it. It's a lifestyle. Example that I was thinking about this morning was Joseph, and how of the dream, and God allowed him to interpret the dream. There was going to be 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. And so he, through having a relationship with God for his whole life and walking with God and learning to make mistakes, I'm sure he did, he was a human, but he was able to stand in, and he was put in a position where he was able to work, and they put up for the 7 years of abundance that grain, and whenever it come time for the famine, they said the grain spilled forth out of the storehouses like sand. I mean, it was there whenever they needed it. And so I don't want anybody to mistake in our conversations that we're not supposed to be prepared. We're not supposed to do those things.
Right.
But you're not supposed to count on them. God will grant you a means of having your daily bread. But it's our responsibility to do our part of whatever it is. And in this case, one man's obedience, kept the whole region from starving. And so we need to be listening and doing whatever it is he puts on our heart to do, but then not counting on it, counting on God.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's, I forget what exactly how the saying goes. You know, we should work and prepare and do like it depends on us. But we pray knowing it depends on God, knowing that he directs our path. He if he has to, like you said, spill forth that little bit of grain that we put up, if we put up a box or two of food, if he needs to make that last forever, he can do that. He can make the oil not run out. He's done that before. He can bring manna from heaven if that's what he has to do. He can bring water from the rock if that's what it comes down to. But that doesn't mean, like I said earlier, that you sit on the couch drinking beer all day thinking, well, God's going to take care of me because he did. And, you know, no, that's not, that's not a godly way. It's just not. Well, guys, we're just about out of time. I'd like to finish up with just a couple verses here from Paul's letter to the Philippians. He starts out Philippians to all the saints in Christ Jesus. And so I think that applies to all of us. But chapter 1, verse 27, he says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you." And that too from God. And you know, Remnant, that too. See, both of those things come from God. The destruction of our opponents and the salvation for us. They go hand in hand. And when we can stand together, be of one spirit, one mind, one faith, and not alarmed by these headlines that we read you today, scorched earth, civil war, political earthquake, those are just to make us aware, not to alarm us. And when we cannot be alarmed by those things, it is a sign of destruction for those enemies of God and those that are our opponents. And so we hope you realize that and apply that. And guys, we are all but out of time. I want to invite everybody to church tomorrow. We'll plan on church. I'm planning on bringing a live message. And so we hope that'll work. I'll say pray for me for Holy Spirit guidance to know. I've got notes down, still putting it together. We'll be working on that today. And but we do. We invite you to church. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org at 8:30 in the morning Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and we'll have a full morning for you, I can tell you that. Well, men, thanks. Josh and Paul, thanks so much for joining us. And, man, for the comments and and the prayers, and it's greatly appreciated.
Well, I would just say that, you know, in every day, be faithful in the small things, and he'll help you take care of the big things. Go ahead, Mr. Paul.
Amen.
One last point. America's going nowhere. You know, America is, we're on our journey all the way across the Red Sea, and we're still moving, and America's going nowhere. It's going to be clean health.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Remnant, you as well. God bless.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, fast and free together, make 'em hell send forever. No end.